Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
That's fucking delightful. Fucking delightful. Fucking good combination playing. Sliding balls into space. Good. Excellent. The other one on the fucking road.
Hello and welcome to the Roker Report podcast in association with Sunderland Community Soup Kitchen. I'm Rich Spaeth and I'm joined to discuss very briefly Sunderland's 5-0 home victory against Cheltenham Town down the line by Chris Wynn. How are you this evening, Chris?
I'm pretty good, Rich. Thanks, mate.
That's not bad, is it?
I'm just watching you take a big swig of gin there, mate. And, you know, it's a 5-0 win. What's not to be happy about, you know?
Third gin of the evening, and I think it's a celebratory one. That was pretty good, wasn't it? I mean, we were slick, we were attacking, we were looked dangerous. We could have scored probably double what we scored. We were against a team that decided it was going to keep on playing the same game plan of having the line kind of 30 yards from goal and having the ball played over the top of them. And we certainly took advantage, didn't we?
Yeah, well, it's bizarre to think, isn't it? The last time we scored or we won 5-0 was under Phil Parkinson, when everyone thought, when we beat Tranmere at 5-0, one of his first games.
Oh, yeah.
When everyone thought we were going to play free-flowing football under Phil Parkinson, and it didn't quite work out that way, did it? But it's weird, isn't it, tonight? I mean, you've just said there, free-flowing, slick football, and it was in flashes, wasn't it? And then for the majority of the game, it was trying to get the ball in behind, over the top, wasn't it, to Gordon Stewart?
Well, it was route one, actually. And thinking back to, like, the opening exchanges, my messages to you were, oh, it's all this long ball shit. What's all this long ball shit? Oh, I don't like this. I don't like 4-4-2. I hate 4-4-2. But it worked.
Yeah.
But it worked.
But I didn't mind that. And it looked like Lee Johnson had looked at how Cheltenham played. He looked at their back four. Because every time the ball went in behind them and they were further than 20 yards from goal, you could just tell they were huffing and puffing. They hated it. They hated the fact that every time it got played in behind, Broadhead was already 5 yards, you know, past them by the time they actually knew what was going on. Stewart was holding it up or flicking it on. And they're back four. I mean, we said before we came on, what Michael Duff was playing at with that high line, I just don't know. And not even that he started with a high line, because that's fair enough. But once we'd knocked it over the top 5 or 6 times, you know, change it, change something.
You drop back, don't you? I mean, the change he made was at half time, which seemed to, in some ways, I guess it worked to begin with, but it didn't change the game in any way. But let's go through those goals, because we've got some goals to get through, don't we?
Yep.
I mean, and the rain has started hammering down in North Wales as well. If you hear that on the podcast, listeners. I think I'm gonna have to get our goal scorers up. Well, the first one was just after Nathan Broadhead had laid the ball on for Stewart to miss an absolute sitter. And at that point, I thought, oh, it's going to be one of those evenings, isn't it, where we can't put the ball in the back of the net. But the ball went out for a corner. They cleared it for a corner. It was a lovely, lovely ball in. And it was Bailey Wright got a head on and opened the score. And it was nice to see Bailey Wright getting a goal.
It was. It was a nice header, wasn't it? But I just wanted to say about that chance, and we'll probably say it over and over again because of the way he's been playing, but that chance that led up to the corner, what a ball by Winchester, by the way.
He
played the ball over the top. Broadhead went through and pulled it back to... back to Stewart, but absolutely fantastic. But he did it again and again and again all night. Winchester and Huggins did the same on the other side. But yeah, I mean, McGeady corner, Bailey right header, quite a kind of an acute angle, actually. Quite a really good header right into the far corner.
It was a solid header, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I think it was needed because, like I say, it could have been one of those nights. And although he got two goals, I'm not sure Ross Stewart was on top form this evening. But he did get the second and third, and they were both lovely goals. And they were both, the architect of both, in some ways, was Nathan Broadhead, wasn't it? I mean, that pass the second one was a ball in from McGeady, wasn't it? And he dummied it. And Stewart ran through and buried it in the bottom right-hand corner.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful little, beautiful finish. But what made it was the no-touch assist from Nathan Broadhead.
Well,
beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, well, not just that dummy. If you rewind it back even further on the halfway line, Evans won the ball just inside our own half, laid it into, Nathan Broadhead, and then Broadhead kind of combined with, I think it went into Stewart. Stewart laid it off to Broadhead. It was running on. And then Broadhead went wide to Winchester. But they combined in the centre circle first. Then it went wide. And then it came into the middle. Broadhead dummied it. Mm-hmm. And Stewart was at the back post. But I mean, the two strikers combining in the centre circle. And then in the same move, 30 seconds, well, not even 30 seconds later, probably 10 seconds later, actually. Combining again in the penalty box. I mean, I was gonna put it to you. Yeah. I was gonna put it to you, Rich. Can you name the last real true striking partnership that Sunderland had? Because I was struggling with this when I was thinking about this earlier.
I mean, obviously, Jermaine Defoe did a lot of the work on his own.
Yeah.
Are we looking at like Benton?
Yeah.
Kenwyn Jones.
That's exactly the two I had in mind. That's the last two I can remember who played as a two. And I haven't seen us play with a two for such a long time. And I thought tonight it was just lovely to see two strikers playing next to each other and playing off each other.
It was great. And then obviously we had the pass of the evening from Nathan Broadhead through to Aidan McGeady in the box. But I mean, it was just beautiful. That ball was about as top quality as you'll ever see a pass, certainly at this level of the game, to open up their defence and give McGeady no option but to lay it on a plate for Ross Stewart to get his second of the evening, make it 3-0 when we went in at half time, and I think everyone was very happy with that scoreline, although it could have been double. I don't think we've got time to go through missed chances evening because there was quite a few of them. And then, obviously, we came out in the second half. Like I said, they made a substitution and they changed it up. They took a defender off, they put an attacker on, they went 4-4-2. It had a bit of an effect for about 5 minutes, but other than that, we were just completely dominant, weren't we?
Yeah, we were a class above completely. I mean, the first five, well, I think it was the first five, almost 10 minutes of the second half, it was Cheltenham's best spell of the game, and it was purely because they came out, tried to get some pride back, and I think Lee Johnson probably said they're going to have a go just because they're 3-0 down. They've got nothing to lose. Just be careful first 5-10 minutes, and then after that, boom, we just kind of took over the game. And I mean, just going back to that, just quickly, that third goal. I mean, again, just to mention Nathan Broadhead, because I thought he was fantastic tonight. I mean, just his first touch, you could just tell he's a player, but he didn't get the goal, but it was all about Nathan Broadhead, that the fact that it was 3-0 at half time.
Yeah, yeah. Die down, boy, as they say around here. Die down. Very good.
I'll believe you.
Absolutely brilliant. And, you know, I couldn't be more pleased from, you know, he's from round where I live, and, you know, everyone around here is rooting for him. And it was just lovely to watch. It was just really, really nice to watch a player who's obviously got quality, obviously been chomping at the bit to get a chance and taking it. And I mean, the one downside for the game is that he didn't get that goal.
Yeah.
he got he was through and in the second half. I mean, we're skipping a little bit forward, but it was through in the second half. And I actually think their defender made a really good save. He kind of combined with the goalkeeper the defender made a tackle, combined with the goalkeeper, and it went out for a corner. But that was his big opportunity, and he had one that hit the side netting as well. Yeah, but Luke O'Nine did get the fourth goal on 65 minutes. And that was just after Diaku came on. And it kind of needed that, the game, didn't it? Johnson took off McGeady, who'd had a fantastic game. But he brought the energy of Diaku on, and it was from a Diaku corner. Eventually he came out, and Evans cut a lovely ball back for O'Nine to finish with aplomb, really, didn't he? He put that in with it. He really struck that ball really well.
Yeah, with his left foot as well. I don't know if it was a... He's pretty good with his left foot. Yeah, he ran onto it with his left foot. But yeah, like you said, I think with the players that were on, they'd had their fun, hadn't they? The likes of McGeady and all those sort of stuff. So that they kind of had their fun, and the introduction of the likes of Thiago and eventually Pritchard when he came on. I mean, they kind of... They added a bit of extra energy, and they wanted to get some goals. They wanted to get in on the action and stuff. So, like you said, the game picked up a bit. And Evans did brilliant to get... I didn't expect Evans to start getting to the byline, but I think that was a kind of sign of the opposition tonight as much as anything else.
Yeah. I mean, they were really poor. And at that point, their heads had gone down. And a minute later, there's a beautiful ball played through by Huggins. Was it Huggins played that ball through to Broadhead? And, I mean, a shout-out for Niall Huggins as well for a great performance. One or two loose passes, but I think I can excuse him that from the energy and the quality on the ball and the way that he brings the ball forward and moves with the ball at his feet. Yeah. It's beautiful, but that lovely pass through to Broadhead. Broadhead, again, unlucky for the ball, just bounce up, hit his knee. Defender comes in, tackles him, and Diaku bangs it home. Another lovely finish, wasn't it?
Again, and you were, I mean, we were trying to discuss before the game, you know, when Diaco was coming on, is he right footed? Is he left footed? Can he do it with both feet? And he bent that one in with his left foot, didn't he? Right in the top corner.
But
like you said, Huggins, I was really impressed with Huggins tonight. I thought he showed real kind of good energy on the left hand side, and you could tell he was a little bit unnatural on his left hand side. And if it wasn't for the form of Winchester on the right, you could see him being a fixture at right back. Yeah. I mean, we've got kind of great options all over the pitch, and Diaco proved that as well. But I mean, going again with Nathan Broadhead being in again, it seemed like the only time Cheltenham wanted to actually tackle was when Nathan Broadhead got clean through.
Was through on goal.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. And you know. We're recording not long after the game. We don't know the injury status. He did go off with about 5 minutes to go. Danny Collins was hoping that it was just tiredness or cramp or something was tight. I really hope he hasn't picked up something, because I can see him just being such an important player for our season. Because these games, you know, we're Saturday, Tuesday, we're going to need to use the squad, aren't we? And we used it so well tonight. And this team, half of these players have been playing fantastic in the League Cup. They've got into the last 16, and now they've done it in the league as well. This is the lineup that scores goals, isn't it? Not like the first 11.
Well, absolutely. And this is the type of fixture. I mean, going back, Jack Ross, Phil Parkinson, this is the type of fixture where we might have won on Saturday, and then we come on Tuesday night and we draw 1-1, and it's a smelly, horrible game, and the opposition sit on the edge of their box, and we play one up front and don't really go for it, and we just end up kind of petering out to a draw and getting a point. Tonight, I mean, I think he surprised a few people, given Dan Neil the rest, given, you know, Doyle being out, and, you know, changing it up with O'Brien in there. But he went 4-4-2, and he brought those players out. But all of the changes he made, especially at the other end of the pitch in terms of the shape, was all positive. So he was going for the throat of Cheltenham and saying, we're going to win this, and we're not, you know, it's not going to be like an exhibition. It's not going to be a cup game. It's not going to be a smelly, horrible draw. We're going to go out and we're just going to get 3 points. And proper old school 4-4-2, two up front, working together, and I enjoyed it.
And it worked. I mean, it totally did. I mean, we've got to finish up pretty soon, but I'll just go through some stats, actually. I've just looked at the stats for the game. We had 63% possession. That's no shock. But 22 shots in the game, 10 on target. Because that reminds me, there was a couple tipped over at the end by their keeper as well. It could have been a lot higher, this score.
Yeah.
You know, 8 corners to 3. And I think those 3 were quite fortunate to get 3 corners in the game. That's a dominant performance. And it puts us top of the league, because Wigan have lost 2-1 at home to Sheffield Wednesday, who obviously we've still got to play. And a lot of goals in the league today as well. Ipswich finally finding their goal scoring form, but they are like towards the bottom of the table, and they beat Doncaster 6-0. We had 5-1 at Oxford against Accrington. 3-0 Rotherham beat Wimbledon. I mean, there's goals everywhere. Bolton, who we played, and we know that they're good, beat Charlton 4-1 away from home. You know, and our opposition on Saturday, Portsmouth, came up against everyone's bogey team this year, Burton Albion, and lost 2-1. So the league is there. The league is there for the taking at the minute. I mean, we've played 9. We've got 22 points and 11 plus 11 goal difference. What a position to be in, mate.
Yeah, no, it's brilliant. You know, 3 points ahead of the player. Well, Milton Keynes in third with a game in hand. I mean, we'd have kind of snapped your hand off for that. You know, kind of, you know, coming into 9-10 games of the season gone. But I mean, I'm just going to caveat. I mean, look, absolutely fantastic. We made some changes. I mean, played some nice football. Absolutely fantastic. But again, we've said it a couple of times. Cheltenham were poor tonight. And it's going to be...
Oh, God, they were awful.
They were very poor. I mean, the worst team I've seen, certainly this season. Oh, and
yeah.
I mean, they came up with Bolton, and they looked like two completely different...
They finished above Bolton.
Yeah, yeah. And they looked like two completely different sides. And Saturday is going to be a completely different kettle of fish.
Yeah, it will be. But, I mean, there's nothing like this confidence boost.
Absolutely.
I mean, as I think Gav and Craig said, the other day on the pod, a team was going to get a scudding off us, weren't they? They were going to get a hiding. And it was Cheltenham in the end. But back to the League One slog on Saturday.
Yeah.
We'll have, I think, Chris, you've done a preview with the Pompey fan, and that'll be coming out the next day, I think.
I think just
after this.
Well, probably, yeah.
Probably within an hour of this pod dropping, there'll be another one. And then we'll probably have a reaction after the Pompey game on Saturday as well. Then our normal pod on Monday is coming out. And then we'll probably have the Lasses pod on Monday as well. So plenty of content from Rugby Report. Loads of stuff going on the website. There'll be loads of analysis of this, I'm sure. And yeah, so get reading, get listening, and thanks for listening.
Where am I going? I don't know. Where am I heading? I ain't certain. All that always I am on my way.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.